It's time.
It's time.
It's time. It's time.
It's time.
Time.
It's time.
Time to think about the things that you otherwise wouldn't say. Lucky for us, these two will say anything.
Come on!
It's time for The Fawcast with Chris Williams and Mark Charter. The Fawcast is powered by Charterhouse Real Estate. Why pay 7% to list your home? Choose the flexible 5 or 6% plan for you at charterhouseiowa.com. Hear more from Mark following this episode.
Listen very carefully.
Shall we do this then?
No, just take it one time.
An audio experience unlike any other starts now.
Podcast on location this week. We're in the great city of Boone. Who doesn't love coming to Boone on a random Wednesday afternoon?
It's fantastic, Chris.
I love it. Charter brought some mutual friends of ours. The good thing is Lane Danielson is wearing a shirt.
I didn't tell him to say that. Lane has already said, like, what can we stop with that? I'm sorry, man.
You are wearing a shirt, Lane. Welcome to the program.
It looks good, Thank you. Looks good.
What's the story on that? He always wears a shirt.
Does he, though? Does he?
The story is that Charter's wife...
Charter's wife had a crush on Lane. So when she found out, I told her where we were moving. I says, two doors away from
Lane. So Chris always makes comments. So is Lane outside with his shirt off for your wife?
Like when Lane mows his yard, does your wife go to the window? That type of thing. That's where it came from, Jack.
Got it.
So
this
it's awkward for
it's
both of
them. It's very awkward.
Which makes it great for me.
How do you feel about it, Lane? Like the knowing that Mark's wife wants you.
She doesn't.
Wanted.
I'm pretty sure she does.
Wanted.
She does like that preppy all-American look, and Lane
and that's
wears
Lane.
That well.
That's Lane.
Yeah.
That's Lane.
He wears that well.
Whitford's also here. Jack, welcome.
First time for Jack.
Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic RV.
Yeah, this buggy is awesome.
What are we in?
Buggy?
Here? This is a camper.
It's a pop-up.
Okay.
It's my father-in-law's, and we've never actually brought an RV to one of these, and he bought one. I'm like, hey, we'll take that.
I like it.
We should point out that some people wanted Ross on the show, and I said no to that. He is sitting here in the same RV with
us. He's actually beside you right now.
But he actually won't be on the show.
Wasn't Ross on the show last week?
Yeah, when you said Ross is really good, but 2 weeks straight, kind of good?
If he was a Cyclone, he could be a regular.
You know, we have a lot of Cyclone fans that would like him as a regular as a Hawk. That's true, because they look at him as a level-headed Hawk, and they're okay with that type.
Mark, how did your bets go last week?
Terrible.
You had a bad week, really?
Yeah. Here's my position on betting. Only an idiot bets week one of college football.
I did.
Because you don't know anything. You don't know anything at all. Like, here's a good example. Did you think Missouri was going to give up 40-something points?
I don't pay attention to garbage games like Missouri and Missouri State.
Well, unfortunately, I paid attention to it. I was wrong.
Did you have the under? I hope not.
No, I had Missouri minus 36.5 or something like that.
Our neighbor, Kirk Ridout, went 8-for-8 against the spread in our pick'em league.
Well, I need to talk to Kirk a little bit, I guess, man. So, no, week one's tough.
Yeah, I usually suck at week one. I got lucky this week. I had a really good week. But
I have
it
a few bets on the big game coming up.
Don't do anything in week two because you know that it'll catch up and I'll get screwed.
Yeah.
Hey, Whitford is here. We can't talk about illegal sports betting. Yeah. Sorry.
We can pick for fun, right?
Sorry, Jack. Hey, I know we're gonna
make picks for fun.
That's what Mark and I do. We're just doing it for fun.
We're gonna talk a lot about the big game coming up. We've got two Iowa State studs with us here. We can talk a little bit about their glory days. But I wanted to start off with a little game that Lane's already cringing about. It's called Let's Get to Know Lane and Jack.
Yeah.
Hey.
I wish we had like theme music.
You got anything, Ross? Nope, just a head shake. All right, guys. I've got a few questions here. There's nothing crazy, but go ahead and throw out an answer if you can on these. Okay, the first one's...
You know, Whitford is a senator, real quick.
I know.
He's my friend. I don't want to put him in a bad spot.
The first one is really stupid. I'm going to start off with a really stupid one. Would you rather have your grandma's hairstyle or her first name?
Hairstyle
for Lane.
Yep.
What is Grandma's first name, by the way?
Janine.
Janine. Okay, so Lane does not want to be a Janine.
Janine Daniels.
I have Leora. Leora?
Leora?
Leora Whitford.
I'll take the name.
You'll take the name or the hairstyle. All right, guys. Would you rather know when you
will? Yeah,
because
you could just fake the name. You could tell people.
Yeah, I guess I'll go back. I'll take the name. Because I can just go by, like, Jay.
Take the name.
There you go.
Would you guys rather know when you will die or how you will die?
How. For sure how.
Okay.
Yeah, because then you could just avoid it.
No, it's done.
It's inevitable.
Done no matter what. You can't avoid it.
Well, if you know,
it's like, have you seen the Final Destination movies? You probably haven't, since you don't watch movies.
No, but I don't watch.
But if you only know how, it could be 30 years from now.
That's true,
right? And then you don't have to worry about
that. Yeah, but like, if you know you're going to die in a train wreck, then don't ever get on a train.
That's true.
Get Williams bringing common sense into this game.
And then what happens is you're sitting in your house watching TV and a train derails and runs through your living room. That's how it goes down.
Oh, yeah.
Lane, what do you say? Which would you pick?
I would agree with Jack.
Okay.
Yep.
Each of you, what terrible movie do you secretly love? Name something bad that when it comes on, you like to watch it, even though it's probably a crap movie.
Spaceballs.
Okay, that's a good one. It's a good one.
Man, I really don't watch movies.
You're Chris Williams?
I haven't been to the theater since 2004.
Jeez, that's a hell of a streak.
That is a hell of a streak.
Is Major League a terrible movie?
That's my all-time favorite.
Whitford seems like a Freddy Got Fingered type of guy to me.
How did you know 04? What was the movie?
Yeah, that's a great question.
It was like,
how do you know it's 04 in the movie?
Well, it was when my wife and I were dating, so maybe 04, 05.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like Varsity Blues or Friday Night Lights, one of the two. It must have been Friday Night Lights.
Good movie. Good movie.
I'm sure that got everybody in the theater turned on.
All right, guys.
I like going to movies. We go a lot. That's where Jack and
Jack's answer will be like, I don't eat sweets here. What is your favorite junk food? Name one thing. What's your weakness?
Chocolate chip cookies.
Chocolate chip cookies. What's Lane like over there? He looks like a Starburst guy.
Probably Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. All right.
And Cool Ranch Doritos are my weakness.
They both like the chocolate. Would you rather go skydiving or shark diving?
Skydiving.
I've been skydiving.
Yeah? Do you want to go shark diving?
Not particularly.
Okay.
I'll go skydiving again.
Gin, vodka, or tequila?
Vodka.
Vodka.
Both vodkas. That's why you guys are great friends, probably. All right. A couple more. You win $10 million tonight in Powerball. What is the first thing that you buy? And no investing. That's a crap answer. I know what you guys are thinking. Yeah.
Danielson's over here like, a mutual fund.
Yeah. Come on, guys. Live a little.
Probably a plane ticket somewhere.
Big trip.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Man, I might buy one of these little campers.
Little pop-ups?
Yeah, little pop-up camper.
I hate to break it to you. You don't need 10 mil to score one of these things.
It's about 12 grand for one of these bad boys.
All right, man. Before we talk football.
Straight cash, homie.
Let me lead you into football with this one. Would you rather have 6 wins and an awesome bowl game location or 10 wins and a crappy one?
10.
10.
10?
That's a dumb question.
We got real winners. What if it's Hawaii versus Shreveport?
10 wins.
Yeah.
Still going 10 wins?
10 wins, because then it builds you up for the future and you get to go to better bowls.
I've been to a bowl in Shreveport.
And Iowa State's never won 10 games.
That's true.
I've been to a bowl in Shreveport. It's not that bad.
No?
I had a good time there.
Yeah.
A good time.
I had a roommate that made that trip, I think. And
Shreveport
he had a good time at a Shreveport bar.
Shreveport was
goes.
Better than Boise.
Was it?
For sure.
Yes.
A little warmer.
Yes.
A little warmer. Was that Shreveport? Was that Bama? Who were you guys playing?
Bama, yeah.
Yeah.
You guys won that game.
When we played in Boise, one of our
bowl field goal was good.
That was a bunch of garbage.
One of our bowl activities in Shreveport or in Boise was snowmobiling.
Yeah.
On a bowl trip.
Really?
Yep. But they were like governed snowmobiles that only went 20 miles an hour.
Safety first. What was the temperature at game time that day?
It wasn't that cold. It was raining, though.
Yeah, it was
New Year's
disgusting.
Eve in Boise. It was probably like 40-ish, 45, and raining.
And the game was 11 o'clock Central, and I want to say it was like 9 a.m. I forget if Boise is Pacific or Mountain, but
it was early.
We had to get up in the hotel at like 5 a.m.
Oh, God.
We were getting our ankles taped at like 7:30 in the morning.
I remember watching that on TV. It looked miserable.
And it was a home game.
Yeah.
You guys played Boise State, right?
Yeah.
What?
Was before it was normal to lose to Boise State.
Yeah, that was before Boise was
Boise. We played like an 11-1 Boise State team, and I, everyone was like, I can't believe you lost to Boise. Well, they beat Oklahoma like 2 years later.
It's kind of cool. They got to play on the famous blue turf, though. I mean, if you got to play somewhere cold like that, somewhere famous. How many bowl games are you guys playing? Three. What was the coolest piece of bowl swag that you actually got at any of those games?
Probably our championship ring.
Yeah,
from 2000.
The Insight ring, yeah.
The ring. See, that was a cool place to play a game. Nice weather there. You know, baseball field, but still.
It was really nice.
Kind of cool.
It was a cool stadium. Great weather. We played it. We stayed in an amazing resort. It was top shelf all the way across.
Do you guys remember how many catches you had in that game?
I was a freshman. I didn't play in the game.
I had 3 catches.
Yeah. What was your longest?
I caught a hitch and 2 slants.
Yeah.
Paul Rhodes was the defense coordinator for Pitt.
Yeah.
And their corners played like 12 yards off the ball, so we just hitched and slanted
them
to death. Yeah.
Hopefully people can pick up this train vibe that's rolling through right now.
There's a train coming for Williams.
Hey, and that train will be here for like
Have you guys seen the movie Brewster's Millions? Reminds me of the minor league game where they have to pause because the train track literally goes through the outfield. It's not even behind the wall. So,
I've never even heard of that movie.
Brewster's Millions? It's so good. Ross is just nodding over here. It's a great movie with Richard Pryor. All right, guys, should we talk the game?
Yeah, we should. We should get into the game. What's your favorite Cy-Hawk moments for you guys before we dig into this year's game?
My favorite was 1998, senior in high school. I grew up a Cyclone, just Iowa State getting pounded every year. You show up to that game, I think they lost by like 40 the year before, so you show up expecting to get pounded again, and Iowa State just dominated. I mean, that was by far my favorite moment.
Do you have one that sticks out to you, Lane?
Well, I thought for sure Jack was going to say 2002.
That's an easy answer,
yeah,
right?
That's an easy answer.
You had the big catch.
Yeah.
I would say 2001. I loved that game because it was at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Both teams were 6-5 in the 9/11 year, so that game really meant a lot. We're both bowl eligible, playing for something more.
Yeah.
And Iowa had turned – that was his first winning season.
Yeah, they were good then. Yeah.
And it was their first bowl game under Kirk.
That was a neat deal to play it at the end of the year.
It was really neat.
It was so unique.
Well, plus it gets hyped all year because, you know, under this format, you play Iowa Week 2, and then you generally forget about them. You don't watch them. As a player, you're worried about other things. And that one, you have an eye on Iowa the whole year because you know they're coming up at the end.
So yeah.
Different dynamic.
Do you think that's better for the rivalry if the game was later in the year versus so early?
That year was great. But
yep. That year was.
I think it's a deal where if Iowa's
8-3 and we're 3-8 going to the game, no.
Nobody cares.
That year it was – but we both had the same record.
I'm curious what you guys think, because this gets a lot of pub. So you can either debunk this or verify it, I guess. Iowa's pink locker rooms. Does that have any bearing on you whatsoever, being in there? I mean, does it do anything?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, you know, Harbaugh goes there and he, like, covers it up with posters and he makes a big deal out of it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, the amount of time you actually spend in a locker room for a game – by the time you get there, get taped, or on the field, you're not even in there. So unless you make it a big deal, I don't think it is.
So hype.
It's all hype.
All about hype.
Of course, we never lost there.
We were also 2-0 in Kinnick, so that helps.
Repeat that. I didn't hear that part. 2-0?
2-0.
Oh, what, man, I love the Hawk in here.
What do you think? Let's just get right to it. This Saturday's, I think it's fascinating when, and Jack, we hit on this a lot late Saturday night, these schematics of this game are fascinating to me because it's just you've got two polarly opposite teams.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Iowa State at some point wants to be built from the inside out, but it's not really there yet. And that's certainly what Iowa is. Their strengths are in the trenches, and there's a lot of question marks on the outside, specifically on offense. These games are fun. I think it'll be a chess match on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really anxious to see Iowa State's receivers, who is in my opinion, the best receiving core they've ever had, going against Iowa's unproven secondary. And can they make plays, enough plays to win the game? You know, and it'll be interesting to see if Nate Stanley and an unproven group of receivers, I think they have some talent. I think they actually have more talent at receiver than most people give them credit for. Yep. Vandenberg's a good player.
Mm-hmm. Vandenberg's torched us the last 2 years.
And yeah. and their tight torched end, us. What's mm-hmm. the tight end's name, Fant?
Fant, he's a stud.
I'm big on him. You know, watching him last week, he's a good player. So I think they have more talent than you think. But
and the Newton kid's pretty salty, too. Easley?
Yeah.
He had a couple good catches.
He looks.
He
like,
was so going
they're
to
the
go
opposite.
To Iowa State.
You know, Jack and I can relate yeah. to Vandenberg and Easley more than we can Lazard and Butler. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What did Vandenberg do in game one? Lane and I are having this argument. I didn't even know he was still on the team because I didn't hear his
I don't
name
think
at all.
I watched. He didn't do much, but no. he's a proven guy. I mean,
Ross, you would know.
He's
did he
torched
do anything
us forever
in that game. Nothing.
Two catches says
okay.
Ross.
So he didn't stand out.
The one who's Fant's the one who
had the big.
I've
game.
Lost some sleep over because I'm just like. I mean, Iowa State's linebackers really have yet to be tested, and that was a group. I mean, they made some nice plays. I think Willie Harvey's a really good player. But Lanning and Spears, it's still kind of like you don't really know what you have there. And Fant's so big, he's going to create – and he's athletic, too. Yeah. He's going to create a mismatch.
And what worries me is I think Iowa State's going to sell out to stop the run and force Stanley to beat him. And anytime you do that, you bring those linebackers and safeties up, yeah. who all of a sudden is running free in the secondary?
So let
that's
me,
a tight end, and yeah. that's what really worries
you
me.
You guys are offensive players, not defensive, but how do you stop what I was going to do a lot this week, I think, which is basically seam routes from their tight ends? How do you stop that? I mean, you got an athletic guy like Lanning that his primary job could be to cover those guys, but it seems like they sneak through anyway.
I think Cotton Moya is going to have a really good game. I think our safeties are going to have to – safety. Iowa put so much pressure on the safeties because they run the ball and the linebackers are drawn in to stop the run. And I think those seam routes, the Vandenberg out of their end zone 2 years ago and Jack Trice, safety's got to make that play. We're down 7 going into the fourth quarter. We're up 7. Weren't we up 7 from Kinnick 2 years
yeah,
ago?
Yeah.
Going into the fourth quarter, we were up 17-10. And – from the south end zone.
They were buried.
Beathard throws a bomb up the seam. Ball's in the air for 7 seconds, it felt like. And the safety's got to go make that play.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you've got play action and tight ends in the game, your safeties have to play very well.
I think, too, that I don't think Iowa showed a lot against Wyoming. I mean, to me, that seems like a even though that game like was perceived to be close there for a while, if you watch it, it never really felt like Iowa was going to lose. At least right. I didn't think so. And I think that they totally took their foot off the gas toward the end. They didn't show much. I think you're going to see more Wadley in the slot. I know they're going to use Fant against us. I don't know. I think I think we're in for some surprises.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it's going to be how comfortable they feel with giving the ball to Nate Stanley and letting him play.
Yeah,
you know, some of that is not showing your whole offense. Some of it is – we got to break this quarterback in a little bit and see what we really have.
I think he's better than their receivers are.
Fant?
No, I think that
Stanley.
I think
relatively.
I'm more confident in him as a quarterback than I am in Iowa's wide receivers.
Was he the guy that came in against Iowa State last year when Beathard got hurt for like 3 plays?
Yes.
And he threw like 3 good balls right away.
He's good. And he's a confident kid. I don't know if you watch his interviews and stuff.
Where's he from?
Ross, where's Stanley from? Illinois? Oh, ooh. Mississippi? Okay, I don't know.
We stumped him. I think we stumped him.
The one thing that you can't know ahead of time is how he will perform on the road for the first time in that environment.
Yeah.
Some people rise to that, and some people don't.
Born in Oklahoma, played high school football in Wisconsin.
Okay.
Oklahoma.
Ross, high school Wisconsin. Hear that.
I asked John Miller this earlier in the week. Do you remember it was the game 4 years ago when Rudock came in as a sophomore with no experience and played really well against Iowa State? I asked him if he thought that Stanley was above or behind where Rudock was at that point. And he thought a little bit behind based off of what was around him. I mean, that team had like Martin Manley. They had some proven receivers that Stanley doesn't necessarily have. But let's go to the other side of the ball, I guess. And this is the more exciting part for Iowa State. They're going up, though, against a really good defense, guys. I mean, Iowa's front seven, that's as good of a front seven as Iowa State will see all year, I believe. Maybe you throw Oklahoma in, but I think I would take Iowa's right up there with them, especially their linebackers. I didn't love, especially when I went back and watched the tape, I didn't think the run blocking was very good the other night. That's a concern for me. I'll throw it to you. Can they win? Can Iowa State win if Park has to throw it 45 times?
Yes.
Okay.
I think they almost have to throw it that much to win. mean, I don't see – from based on last week and what they did running the ball against Northern Iowa, I agree that they're just not – they're not that great at running the ball yet. And maybe they will be at once that line starts to gel. But if you can't run the ball great against you and they didn't, I don't see them running the ball great against Iowa, and so you're gonna have to use your weapons. I mean, who are your weapons? They're all on the outside, and
yeah.
And then Montgomery's gonna have to go make some yards after contact too. And sometimes, you know, he showed us last week he can.
People say that sometimes, like that it's a bad thing. Oh, they'd have to chuck it 45 times. But if that's the strength of their team,
yeah, I just
why
like,
not utilize those players?
I don't like being completely one dimensional against a really good defense.
No, but here's what I think they
that's
can,
my problem.
Here's what
with
I think
it.
They can do. They can use those short screen. Pass to Trevor Ryan and those guys that are pretty much run plays
to
stretch the field and make those linebackers run.
At least Park's accurate enough. I feel like in the past we haven't had quarterbacks accurate enough to do that. I mean, even those pass plays that are representing the run, I mean, we'd miss them.
Mm-hmm.
We ran a lot of those bubble screens
on
Saturday. Felt like it was over the top the amount that we did it.
Well, and the only time they worked was when it went to Lazard's side.
Yeah, because he's a physical blocker.
Yeah, he'd like pancake his guy.
Yeah.
But if it went to the other side, like Hakeem Butler's not making that block.
That's right.
Do you guys, so you got an unproven secondary. Iowa's defensive weakness as of now, I mean, it could end up being okay as the secondary.
But
my question for you guys, though, is do we see Iowa State take a lot of deep shots on Saturday? 20-plus yards down the field. Because they didn't have to do that against you and I, just like Iowa didn't have to do it against Wyoming. But do they really try to open
Iowa's,
it up?
Iowa can stop the run with seven guys, and so they'll probably play two safeties all night, all day long.
Yeah.
And so that's really tough to throw the ball downfield. Iowa wants you to throw it underneath, short routes. Linebackers and corners sitting in the flat, just, you know, they're going to give you those shorter things. So stretching the field with Iowa is always a challenge. That's where I go back to Chris's comment. I agree with him. Got to try and run the ball a little bit. Because if we're 100% one-dimensional, they'll drop seven guys in coverage. And
is a little bit, though, 25% of the time is adequate enough? Is that enough to keep them honest?
60-40.
As long as it's effective when they do. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to move the chains running the ball. But if they can run and get in second and seven and – third and four, then that's what they need to do running the ball. They're not going to pick up first down after first down marching down the field running the ball, I don't think. And so it's just more about getting them in a good position where, you know, there's something to work with on offense.
Even if it's second and nine and we pick up four and get us to third and five, or you know, I just think it's got to be sprinkled in, but can't be predictable. It can't just be first and ten, here's our run, and we're going to pass on second, third down.
And it seems like they've done that a lot in the past, and then you're behind the eight ball right away.
Do you guys like Manning as a play caller so far?
I do. I like him. I don't know.
I love him as a coach. I don't know. I guess I don't really feel like I have a feel for him yet as a play caller. I didn't like the game. I didn't like how they called plays on Saturday. I wasn't crazy about it. But I also, like Iowa, I do. I think once they got 14-7, I don't think they were showing a lot either. I really don't think they were.
I would agree with that. And in that game, if you're playing you and I, and you should be a physical mismatch, I mean, they're going to want to get the running game going. So even if it's not working for a while, you have to get that going and get some confidence and build that game up a little bit.
This is where I have most confidence with the offense leading into Saturday. It's just what we saw last year, how bad the line was in game one, and it got better every week. Well, mm-hmm. He's got a lot better linemen now.
Yeah.
And I do think that I think he's an elite offensive line coach, and I think that he has a lot to teach with from last Saturday to this week.
Yeah.
I think we'll see significant improvement. Iowa's really good.
One thing I liked last week is they didn't give up a sack, and so you know, they weren't great at running. But they had 150 yards rushing, not bad, not great against.
A lot of it was Montgomery just making people miss.
That's true.
Yes,
but they also protected Park, and this Saturday if they can protect Park. And they only give up one sack or maybe two sacks the whole game, I really like their chance on offense to put some points up. But if they're getting pressure with their front seven, Katie bar the door.
I think the offense looked okay. I mean,
a
lot of people, what you've heard is, the offense didn't look that good. And they
didn't
two defensive touchdowns or else they were in trouble. They had 407 total yards. You know, they moved the ball. I think it was fine.
I don't think they had a third down conversion until midway or late second quarter.
Yeah, they were like 0 for 5, and then they were like then they had
we
almost
wanted
every single
one. Showcase our punter.
And another thing.
That's all that is.
Another thing, too. Punter you, baby. Another thing, though, like your yards are going to be down when you have two defensive touchdowns in the first quarter. I mean, they didn't have the ball either. So it took them a little while to get rolling. And that's another thing, guys, that just scares me about Iowa. It's like, I mean, how many times have we played Iowa and Ferentz will go out and they have like a 7-minute drive and it just gets all the rhythm out of a tempo offense.
Yeah.
And I feel like Park.
That's their game. That's what they do.
Yeah. Like it just, a guy like Park, like I don't know if he's consistent enough yet or what. We'll see. Iowa State's much better when you can, after that 3-and-out, you know.
Yeah, and get some tempo going.
That's what scares me. That's why I hate playing Iowa. It's at least, like, that offensive line is – there's a lot of accolades out there. I don't think this is, like, the best Iowa offensive line that we've seen coming to Trice, though.
No.
I don't buy that, like, award that they got. Like, I mean, I think it's a good line. I think it's one of the better lines Iowa State will see. But this is not, like, Nick Gallery coming into
– right.
Jack Trice.
It's just a different style of football.
I'm pretty sure when that award came out last year, I remember, I don't know if he does, he's sitting next to me, but I remember asking Ross if that's legit, and even he didn't think that
was
legit.
No, Ross, like, makes fun of that more than anybody I know.
So it's like, and I had some buddies that are big Hawk fans, like, oh, yeah, of course it's legit. All these guys do is study offensive lines. I'm like, what about the eye test? You know,
what about the Crimson Tide?
You got to be kidding me.
Their line, I didn't think started well on Saturday against Wyoming, but it got better throughout the game, which is what they do. They wear down people. And
yeah, it's just a different style than Iowa State's used to playing. That's what always worries you is, you know, this is probably the one time, maybe Oklahoma's similar, where they're just going to try to pound you, but even they throw the ball a lot more. Iowa State doesn't face this ground-and-pound offense very often.
And it used to be, too, that bothered Iowa, that they didn't see teams like Iowa State.
It still might.
When Jack and I played, we always – Iowa was a different team, and we always felt like we matched up really well with them.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, we were 4-1 against them, but it just every year we'd watch film and, like, gosh, we match up really well with this. And I don't know if that
was
Max
that?
Coaching.
Why?
I think.
I think Mac just tricked us.
Probably. Well, teams.
Put a spell on you.
Probably team speed. You know, I just felt like a lot of the Iowa teams we played, they weren't fast like some of the South Oklahoma's and Texas's that we played.
I would say
their scheme is always so basic.
Yeah.
Vanilla defense, and you know they're going to be running outside zone, and you know.
They never blitz.
Isn't that what this week's matchup is, though? I mean, I can tell you exactly what they're going to do.
Yep.
Right.
Like, can you stop it? I don't know.
I
know what they're going to do. They're going to run it 70-75% of the time, and you know, we've already gone over that. Like, you know, there's not a lot of tricks there.
I think that if Iowa State can score 24 or more points, we'll win on Saturday. If we're getting into predictions a little bit.
Yeah.
I just don't think Iowa's – the question is, can Iowa State score that many points? Because I don't think Iowa will score more than 24. That's my prediction.
Yeah, with their tempo and with the weapons that they have, I agree with
Unless we turn the ball over 4 or 5 times and give them short fields.
Boy, Park should have had that pick. Or he should have gotten picked the other night. Went right through that guy's hands.
Did they score 24 against Wyoming?
Yeah,
24-3.
We're better than Wyoming.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And it's on the road for them. And Stanley's first. I think Mark's onto something there.
It's going to be rocking and rolling
Saturday.
I mean, this is a 19-year-old kid, 20-year-old kid that – I mean, it's a hostile environment. I mean, that's got to be tough to go into.
This is the game where you figure out what you got in a quarterback if you're Iowa. I mean, is he a gamer or not?
And look,
I mean,
and Rudock was great.
Some guys are gamers. They come out and play better than that.
The first time you guys took the field at Kinnick for your first series, do you remember it? Do you remember how you felt at that time?
I remember
first play. Were you overloaded with confidence? You're like, holy shit, I hope I don't drop something here. I mean, there's nerves.
Especially growing up in Northeast Iowa.
That's human nature. Iowa State
was never on TV. You know, growing up, I watched the Hawks. And I remember my first play. It was punt return. I played special teams my freshman year. And we went 3-and-out, or Iowa went 3-and-out, and we were on the field and rolling. And I remember going rushing in like, It was a punt return. It wasn't a block we had on. But I remember going to this big guy, and I'm like, gosh, he wasn't very strong. And I think my adrenaline was just, you know, through the roof.
But you bring up a good point, being raised in Iowa and being around this game. I don't know if it's an advantage or not, but Stanley didn't grow up around this game.
Yeah.
So is it any different than
it does to him, like it does to an Iowa kid, maybe.
I don't think it's fair to say it doesn't mean anything. Yeah. I mean, it's his second start. He's, you know, obviously he's going to play to win, but is it any different than when he was on the sidelines at Ohio State or Michigan last year, wherever they played? I mean, the stadium's it's smaller, frankly, less raucous crowd probably than those places. He's been around that atmosphere. So I wouldn't expect him to come out and just,
crap his pants.
I have a theory on that. Go ahead.
The article in the Register today about how there's always this Iowa State cares more, and Iowa State blames Iowa for not caring as much.
It's our Super Bowl, not theirs.
Kirk commented on it. I think Brian Ferentz has renewed. I think it really is important to him.
Yeah.
I totally agree. The comments he's made about recruiting and watching him on the sidelines of the games the last 2 years, he is way into that. And he played in those years where this series was really competitive. Mm-hmm. Blum did a great job on that 2005 article. You know, I forgot that Brian was snapped it over the set.
Yeah, I've forgotten that too.
I realize that Iowa's not a super deep pool.
Blum's such a troll.
His troll game is like A+ this week.
He's phenomenal.
Congrats to Bloom, by the way. He got a new job. So that's it.
Yeah, he does. He's going to work for Iowa State.
Yep. But I think that from a recruiting standpoint, it has to matter. I mean, if Iowa State goes out and beats Iowa on Saturday, the kids that want to go to one of those two schools notice that. I mean, it might not be ultimately what makes their decision for them, but it has to say it doesn't mean anything, though, just comes off as false.
Yeah.
I think.
I think that's generally fan talk. I don't think Iowa players don't think it means anything, or their coaches. It's just trolls on social media. That's the world we're in, man.
Has social media, Chris, made this game better or worse?
Okay, so I think that, like, when Jack was making the point about Stanley not being from here, I think it's a lot easier for him to get fired up for the game now because he's on Twitter. I'm sure he sees message boards, and we're like 20 years ago. Well, hell,
like,
even
you mean like when we played?
When you guys were playing.
You guys weren't tweeting? Come on.
I mean, there were message boards, but, like, not even everybody had the internet. You know,
I remember,
like, you didn't have smartphones. You're not checking Twitter.
You know, it was kind of the beginning of email, and there was Hawkeye fans that was – that's funny, I know. There was Hawkeye fans that would create, like, Yahoo email addresses and send me, like, LaneDanielsonSucks@yahoo.com. And they would send me – because you could look up our email on Iowa State's directory. Yeah.
So they've been trolling for years, guys.
Yeah.
It's
just easier
I would get an email, like, every week, LaneDanielsonSucks@yahoo.com.
Yeah. Here's a question.
Bloom wrote a column before, I want to say, like, the 2005 Cy-Hawk game. I think it was the 23-3 game. He wrote a column for the Iowa State Daily – and some Hawk fan looked up Bloom's address in the student directory and posted it all over the Hawkeye message boards with a link to the column. And, like, it became, like, Bloom was actually kind of, like, scared that night.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you should have seen all the responses and stuff. Nothing happened, but, like,
this is a sad part of humanity, but I'm curious if you guys ever saw this. Not personally, maybe, but even heard anecdotes. We talked about gambling. We like to talk about that, and it's prevalent. We gamble billions of dollars a week in this country on college football.
Everybody but Jack.
There's a time when you're the, you know, as an example, it was on Bad Beats this week. The Wyoming punter drops the ball, right, which leads Iowa to score, which leads the first half line not to cover. Did you guys ever hear about a player getting hate mail? Anything like that? Like, thanks a lot, asshole. You cost me $1,000. I guarantee you that happens a lot. Maybe not as much at Iowa State.
You know, if I could think of one player that we played with that would have got it, it would have been probably Tony Yelk.
Yeah.
He missed a lot of kicks to cost us a lot of games.
And fans gave him a hard time.
But to answer your question, I don't remember it.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're kids. They're trying their best. But, man, to be a college kicker, knowing that there's
– I'm still convinced – and anybody who listens to these podcasts know how much I love Steel Jantz for multiple reasons. I'm still convinced that he threw that Texas Tech game that year. Jack, do you remember? He rolled out and just dropped the ball. Like, he's rolling out, and nobody even touches him. He's just like, boom.
Is this why you can't find the guy?
No. Like,
nobody can find him, right? Is he still in
IA? Just for clarity, I was making a joke. I don't think Steele threw the game, but that's one game that stood out to me where it was like, holy crap, man. That was 2008. I believe.
You guys are too young for this. But do you guys,
2012, I'm sorry. 2012.
Ross would remember this.
Ronnie Harmon?
Ronnie Harmon. He threw that game.
Oh, he threw the Rose Bowl.
Oh, big time, man. Four fumbles, something like that. I think that's pretty well known at this
point. Didn't he have another similar game in for the Chargers?
I think he did,
Super Bowl. Was it the Super Bowl? He had, like, another four fumbles in the Super Bowl?
I don't know. Bad hands, I guess. Yeah. So let's do predictions. Actual scores. You kind of already said, Lane, 24 points. You think they need to score that. We're full of Cyclone homers here, so I'd expect some victories. But
what's the over-under?
That's a great question, Lane. Hold on. Let me look.
The line was 3 and it's trended down.
The sharps were on Iowa State. The public's on Iowa, but that's generally how this game
goes. That's how it's going to go.
That's how this game has gone for 20 years.
Yep.
I'll look up the line.
I'll start out with a bold prediction here.
Let's hear it, Mark.
I'm going to go. I think Iowa State's going to score. I think that I don't know exactly how they're going to get it done, but I think they will get it done.
The line's 48.
I mean, keep in mind that there's some history of some points in this game. It's not always a 15-13 field goal fest or 15-12. I'm going to go 31-21 Iowa State.
I'd be right around there too, Mark. I mean, I've said since the schedule.
You always just agree with him.
No,
would you give us something?
We really don't. We actually disagree more often than we agree.
We do.
I'm kidding.
But I do think it's – I don't know. I would be surprised with just the way Iowa State plays football if this is a 17-14
I don't see that happening.
Type of game. I don't think Iowa State can win a game like that.
No.
And I've said for months I thought Iowa State would win this. Like, I've been on this since the end of last year. I just think new quarterback, new coordinator. I do not respect their receivers at this point. I mean, I know that they're okay, and Vandenberg's nice, but I'm also confident that Brian Peavy can go one-on-one with Brant Vandenberg. I think Iowa State's secondary matches up okay. Fant's the guy who scares the hell out of me because I don't know how
Payne,
I...
Payne needs to have a better game this
week.
He got
he wasn't very good.
And Iowa State, we don't flip our corners. Peavy's on left side all time, or will he shadow?
He's got to shadow Vandenberg, I would think, because Payne on easily, I'll take my chances there. I mean, I think it's a wash. I don't think it's an advantage either way. Fant scares me, but I do think that I think Iowa State will win. I'm gonna go a little lower scoring than you.
Okay,
give me 28-20
Right. Ross is on the board, by the way.
I think Iowa kicks a lot of field goals.
24-21
Well, I put it right on the number. I didn't even realize that.
That's what I was going to pick because it adds up to 48.
I didn't even think about that. But Iowa kicks a lot of field goals, I think, on Saturday.
So, okay, that's your prediction. Ross is 24-21 Hawks. He's chimed in over there.
Which is in line with my comment earlier that Hawks won't score more than 24. So even the homer doesn't think they'll score more than 24.
We're all homers here.
He's an educated, level-headed homer, all right? Let's be fair to Ross.
I'm
fair.
Ross is the best Hawk fan you'll ever be around.
All right, Lane, Jack, what do you have?
I was going to say 28-24, but I'm going last, so it sounds
28-24.
Iowa State.
Okay.
I mean, okay. Should be clear on that.
I'll go higher then. I'll go 31-28.
So we're all kind of in the same ballpark.
I think it's going to be a great game, and I think that I really think this year's game's pretty much a toss-up.
Weather's supposed to be perfect.
Well, right? Vegas thinks it's going to be close. So
yeah, Vegas thinks
they're usually pretty good.
And whenever Vegas puts this game close, that doesn't happen very often. I mean, Iowa's usually a substantial favorite.
I thought I saw on Twitter Iowa's been favored like 17 straight years. Is that right?
Yeah, I don't think we've ever been favored.
It's hard to imagine.
We may have been in 2000, maybe.
I doubt it.
After beating them 98-99.
I don't know if you've ever looked. That'd be curious.
But 2000 was on the road.
Back when Iowa was pounding Iowa State every single year, I wonder what the spreads were back then.
I don't know. I'd love to know.
It's the highest 21
I mean, they had to be in
points.
The 20s.
You would think.
Oh, at least, yeah.
You would think.
Some of the scores were like 63-20.
I mean, hell, last year it was 17-point spread.
Little known fact about the Cy-Hawk rivalry. What fueled the 98 team's fire so much to beat them was the previous year in 97 when Tim Dwight was in the game late in the fourth quarter catching touchdowns because Hayden was trying to get him in the Heisman running.
Yep.
So that was talked about a ton for years to come by McCartney.
I think that was the year it was like 63-20 or something, final score.
I mean, I think they scored close to 70.
I remember that.
66,
yeah.
I'm going to say Iowa had.
63-20 sounds right.
you can take one slight and run with it, though.
Well, it's the truth. You're up by 40 in the fourth quarter, and you're throwing bombs to your wide receiver. Yeah. You're All-American.
Hayden would always give you plenty of material.
Yeah.
Hayden was good for that.
But that fueled major fire for 98.
What's crazy about your time on Shaggy earlier, getting him on or something.
Shaggy's coming on Fanatics.
That was a Chizik win. There weren't many of them, but that was
that
one
was
of them.
That was such a weird game.
After we
one
lost to
five.
Yeah. after we lost to you and I and maybe Toledo, were we like 0-2?
Yeah, you're right.
And we were 0-2.
Were you guys there for his first year? What was the overlap
Chizik
there? Yeah.
Oh, no.
No, God, no.
When was Chizik there?
07 and 08.
Way after you.
You okay. guys were okay. 2003 you were done,
yep.
right?
Yep.
My favorite lane play was your last game at Missouri, and you housed that punt.
No, it was
it a kick?
It was a deep throw by
okay.
by Wade Terry.
Yeah, Wade Terry, and he got hurt that game.
Yeah, bad.
He got hurt really bad that game. But I remember, because I was there, for some reason me and some buddies made the road trip to
Missouri. We would have been 2-9 yeah. if you went to that game.
We did. That's how diehard of a fan
Trooper.
I was. Yeah. And I'm like, because you put you guys up 7-0, and we're like, yeah, it's going to be a ball game. And then it didn't turn out to be a ball game. But that's my favorite Danielson play.
We don't get you guys on enough. We got game prediction. What is your overall record prediction? I want to hear what Jack says on this. We're on record here. We think 6-6.
That's
we think 7-5 is possible with the right bounces.
I will say this. If they get past Iowa, watch out, because Texas is very winnable.
Oh,
they should beat Akron, and then like
let's stop the 4-0 talk.
And then
Williams.
Kansas. Just and then
saying,
Kansas. Yeah, after that.
Just saying, like, this is a huge game on Saturday for more than just the rivalry game. Like, for the rest of the season, it opens up a lot.
Well, it helps that it looks like Baylor's going back to being Baylor.
They stink, man. How do you lose to Liberty at home? That doesn't make any sense.
It's called karma, and they deserve every little bit of it.
That's right.
And it helps that Texas – Herman's going to get it turned around at Texas.
Hopefully it's not this year.
I bet my house on it.
Yep.
I don't think he'll do it in the first 3 weeks. And so, you know, we're lucky we play them early.
What sucks is they have a bye week before that game, though.
And so do we.
Yeah, right? But
they're going to have
them more.
It helps them more, I think, because he's a first-year coach.
It depends. Who do they have their first three games? Are they going to be 1-2 in that bye week? I mean, that's a brutal bye week if you start 1-2 or whatever.
I think we're going
to
be.
They've got to go to USC.
Yeah, so they're going to be at best 1-2 probably.
That
bye week's not
going to
be
though.
A real fun bye week
Texas
for them.
Texas was a strange game.
Texas
punt returns,
is,
blocked kicks.
Texas is more winnable than the Iowa game.
You really think so?
I do.
I don't. I think Texas.
How not? How do you not think that?
I think Texas is.
Iowa's won 20 games in the last 2 years.
No, I know, but I would rather take my chances with a quarterback making his first start. You've got a lot fewer weapons to focus on with Iowa.
Texas has to have better athletes.
Texas.
Over
yeah, but they're soft.
Yeah, they're soft.
They're soft.
I'm not denying that.
You're telling me Herman's kisses have not hardened them up. If you were to swap the week,
if you were to swap the week,
they had a $20 million locker room.
You've been listening too much ESPN. ESPN's been pumping the Longhorns all year.
No.
They got him that top 25
ranking. He's a Herman homer, which is fine.
Oh, that's right. You are a Herman homer.
This is way less to do with Texas and more to do with Iowa.
On Herman.
It's the fact that they haven't really been tested yet. They're on the road with all these for the first time. If we were playing them on September 28th, that's a different ball game to me.
In college football, you have to learn how to win. You have to have a culture of winning. Iowa has that going right now. They're a very tough team to beat.
I agree with you.
Texas is not.
You take the logos off those helmets, there's no way you're picking Texas. There's no way. It's all based on your friendship with Herman and the fact that they're Texas.
Sorry.
I think that you're right. Texas is more talented. Iowa has better culture.
But
you all meet in the middle there.
And they gave up 50. Was it 51
Which
they gave up
to
Maryland? To
yeah.
All right, Jack, quit being a politician.
I mean,
give me a win total.
Five.
He's trying to skirt it.
Five?
No bowl game, according to Jack Whiffer.
Or you can have a really great APR and go to a bowl
game. I hope I'm wrong.
Oh, man, I hope that's not how they go to a bowl game.
Yeah,
I could totally see that happen.
That sucks.
And then Hawk fans are just going to just kill us for that.
All right, Lane, I know you're six.
I'm six.
Hey, six.
You know what? I predicted six on this show last year.
And we had.
Because I really want to go to a bowl
three.
Game.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm staying at six after week one. I'm not moving that.
There's no reason to change.
I moved up after
week
one. I would have been at 4 or 4.
Well, hell, you got it. So I was factoring in when I did my original six. I was factoring that we're probably losing to Texas and we're probably losing to Baylor. Well, after week one,
I had a loss to
Texas.
I had a loss to Texas, but beating Baylor with my six.
Everyone has Texas Tech as a guaranteed win because we punked them last year, but
totally different down in Lubbock.
Going down to Lubbock, they rolled over that game. It was chilly. They rolled over. It's going to be different.
Quarterback went down, and they just quit trying.
I'd like to see our overall record in Lubbock. It can't be good. We maybe beat them once down there.
Once. That was the Jared Barnett game.
Beat them by like
41-40. Texas Tech was a weird game. This is the only time I've ever been up at whatever the building's called at Iowa State where the players walk in. I'm drawing a blank.
The Jacobson.
Yeah. I was right by Texas Tech's locker room as they came out for that game for the first half and when they came out for the second half. They did not want to be in Ames. Yeah. You could tell
Lubbock
didn't want to be in Ames.
The fans are nasty in Lubbock. I remember in 2003, they were throwing beer bottles at us.
Spitting on you.
Like real glass bottles.
Is that the worst place you play?
Lubbock's a special place.
I've heard Lubbock and Kinnick are the worst. That's what our nod used to say.
At least Kinnick has cool atmosphere to it. I mean, Lubbock has nothing, right?
And Kinnick, they're right on top of you, and you know you're on the bench, and they're beating on your shoulder pads. I mean, they're
old Big 12 schedule. You rotated the South teams every 2 years, so we only played in Lubbock once. We got a small sample size,
and that was enough for you.
It was enough.
Do they draw good crowds at all down there?
Yeah, they do okay. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing else to do.
Nothing.
Cliff's on the hot seat, right?
Yeah.
They got to win this year.
Yeah, they have to.
They're not. We're gonna win that game.
I think so too. I think that.
We went down there.
I think Iowa State's.
How many are we favored?
Six years ago. 6 years ago, we went down there and killed them. We had a running back that just went off in that game. Do you guys remember that?
Well, that was a Jared Barnett.
That was a Jared Barnett
game. 40 plus,
James
probably.
James Smith, or James White, I believe.
James White, I think.
Running back in that game. Yeah, I don't know. This is the season to me. It was what we saw from Ray Lima and Vernell Trent at the D tackle spot real the other night, or was that a bit of a mirage because against the opponent? If those guys look the way they looked and they continue to get better, because keep in mind Matt Leo and Tongamoa barely played, when you start working those guys in over the next few weeks, just saying, like, if you look at the major deficiency of Iowa State football really over the course of history, it's been the interior defensive line. Like, the really good teams have had good interior defensive linemen, and it's been so bad. If you're not getting just gashed like we've seen over the last 5 years, that's where it starts. And those guys, like, I'm all in on the hype train with those guys.
Me
like, I think they are legit.
And I think Lanning will just keep getting better. I do. I'm a fan of Lanning, and I felt like.
Don't you think, too, Lane, that he's so much better just when he's reacting and not having to think, like, at the quarterback position?
That was his first actual game. I mean, he was getting cut quite a bit first. I don't know if you noticed. I was watching.
The first quarter was not pretty.
Yeah. They were just – because he probably didn't get cut all camp. They don't cut that much, I'm guessing. Maybe a few scrimmages here and there.
Yeah.
And it's against the offense he knows very well, his own. So I think I'm glad to see that first game under his belt. He made a few plays, gained a little confidence.
Yeah, I'm with you.
We need him to play well.
Yeah, I'm a believer in Lima and Trent. Are the linebackers going to step up and play? And can they stay healthy? There's not a lot of depth there.
No, there's no depth there.
Okay, there's no depth there.
There's nothing.
And there's so can they stay healthy? I mean, that's always
Tonga
been
Tongamoa will
thing,
help
right?
if he can come in.
Him and Leo both. I mean, have you seen Leo?
Yeah.
He's insane.
He looks like a pro.
That doesn't necessarily mean he's a football player, but.
He's a hard body to get out of the way.
Oh, yeah. I just.
Nothing else.
And Tongamoa, from what the guys have told me, like, came in much better shape than they thought he would.
He's got a great name for a D-line.
He's a super nice kid, too. I got to talk to him the other day, and like, he blew me away with how nice he was.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It's always good
to
have a D-lineman.
Yeah, I guess I kind of want him to be a dick. Never mind. All right, I got to go do Fanatics now.
We got to get Jack back to Ankeny, too. I promised. I'm a chauffeur today.
All right.
You guys rode together?
Thanks for coming, guys. This was fun.
It was fun.
This was a lot of fun. And
I told you it wasn't too bad, Jack.
Road trips to Boone on a random Wednesday aren't exactly. But you get to drive by the Boone Raceway. The Super Nationals are going on.
We got trains, and there's the carnies over here. We got some cotton candy we can pick up on the way out.
What else would you want to be doing? This is great. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
Looking forward to it on Saturday.
Go sell some houses. Did you fill up that real estate spot yet? I'm trying to get you some quality applicants.
We're looking for 3 or 4 new agents to come aboard. Yeah, so if you I've met with a few fans of what we do here already.
Good.
Yeah, they came and interviewed. So we're going to find the right fit. So if you want to be a real estate agent, and make a lot of money.
And you get to stick it to the man, like we talked about last week.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Get a hold of me, and we'll talk.
All right. For Lane Danielson, for Jack Whitford, for Mark Charter, I'm Chris. Let's go to some real estate tips here from Charter.
Hey guys, Mark here. Hope you enjoyed that last podcast. Hey, I'm back with some more real estate tidbits. I know we missed last week. I'd run out of them. I pre-record these things 6-7 at a time. Today I'm doing 5 new ones here for you. And the first one I wanted to do is on something that doesn't sound very exciting, but I wanted to talk to you about it anyway. And it's what's called an exclusion clause and why they're stupid and you should avoid them. So Charterhouse Real Estate, our philosophy is short contracts. The industry average is about 6 months when someone lists their house. The agent wants at least 6 months. I've seen people do as much as a year, which is just ridiculous. When you hire an agent and give them a year to sell your house, that's basically saying you have no confidence this thing is going to sell. It's going to take forever. I would question why you're even on the market if that's the case. But our contracts are 3 months. So basically, we have 90 days or 3 months to get the job done. If 3 months comes and goes, if we don't have your house under contract, you have options at that point. You can relist if you want to, but we don't have that expectation. We tell our clients up front, we're going to succeed for you in 3 months. If we don't, you're free to move on. But basically what there is in most contracts, and if you're looking to hire an agent, this is something to know about for sure and negotiate yourself out of, there's something called an exclusion clause. There might be other names for it depending upon where you are in the country, but basically what it means is while your property is listed, if the agent that's listed the property shows the house to a buyer, they don't have to be the ones to show it. That is, a buyer has just come along and looked at the house. At any time during the listing, that buyer, after the contract is ended, can be protected, basically. So let's say you've listed for 3 months, day 45, someone comes and looks, it's not the right time for them, they go away, and then the contract ends, you decide to list with another agent, so that agent takes over the marketing, time, expense of that, etc. And then that buyer comes back another month later down the road while you have a new agent and says, now I want to buy the house. If you have signed an exclusion clause and the previous agent had supplied you with names of buyers that looked at the property when it was listed, then technically speaking, that first agent will still be due the commission. Now, this is stupid for a couple reasons. One, it puts the new agent in a bind. They're now the agent of record. They basically are marketing, spending money, time trying to get it sold, and they have to step out of the way and let some old buyer that came back on the new listing, the old agent gets paid. But what about if you've had a price drop? What if the new agent did extra creative marketing that made the buyer look at the house in a different light? It doesn't matter. That new agent doesn't get the credit for it. The old agent, because of that clause, and that clause can be 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. It could be 6 months. And sellers mostly don't know what these things are. So the agent just says, sign here. The seller does. And then they're locked into this agent long after the contract's ended. Our philosophy is when the contract's over, it's over. So we don't do exclusion clauses. We have days of zero on our contracts that say basically, you're not tied to us after the contract is over. And frankly, you shouldn't be tied to an agent after your contract is over. So if you're about ready to list your house wherever you live, ask the agent, do you have an exclusion clause? Do you plan to try to protect buyers beyond the expiration date of our contract? If they say that they do, simply tell them that you're not willing to sign that. They have the time of the contract, 3 months or 6 months or whatever it is, opt for three if you can. Tell them they have that many days to sell the house. If they haven't done it by then, you don't want to continue doing business with them after the fact. And an agent might say, well, you know, that's just the way it is. It isn't the way it is. You have an option as a seller to do business the way you want to do business. If they don't want to tweak things for you, find somebody else that was or will, because it doesn't serve you to sign that. It just doesn't make sense. It's only for the benefit of the agent. And it could put you in an awkward position down the road with your new agent. All right, guys, that's it on exclusion clauses. As always, if I can't help you in Central Iowa, which is our home base, we can help you find an agent anywhere around the country. Once we refer you to that agent, we actually make a little bit of money, which helps us to continue to support Cyclone Fanatic. All right, guys, we'll see you next week.